Today is going to be a very special Sunday in many different ways. You see, we're kind of set up differently today. You'll find out why in just a few moments. But right now, what I'd like to do is we are going to welcome in four new members to our church congregation. So I would like to invite Ken and Nina Hoppe up, and Tom Bruden and Marcy Richmond, if you guys would come up. Now, these guys have been part of our church for a while, part of the church longer than I've been part of the church. But today, they want to signify their formal public commitment to all of you as the body of Christ by committing themselves to being members of the body. So, we thank God for you. Amen?
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ, He has made you a part of His universal church and has led you to unite with this congregation. I now call on you to affirm your faith in the presence of God and your brothers and sisters. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and promise to follow Him as Lord? If so, say, I do. You have made a public confession of your faith, and you have been baptized. Do you accept the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, as the Word of God and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct? Will you commit to protecting the unity of Edgewater Church by acting in love towards all the members, by refusing to gossip, by respecting the leaders? If so, say, I do. Will you commit to sharing the responsibility of Edgewater by praying for its growth, by inviting unchurched people to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit? Do you commit to serving the ministry of Edgewater by being equipped to serve by the pastors and by developing a servant's heart and volunteering to serve? And you already are, so thank you so much. And do you commit to supporting the testimony of Edgewater by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and giving generously? We, the members of this congregation, now welcome you with joy into our church family. We pledge to you our love and support, our friendship and our prayers, so that together we may continue to grow in the knowledge and love of God. Members of this congregation, do you receive these believers into your fellowship and care? If so, will you answer, we do?
We do.
As an expression of our welcome and token of our love, I offer you something that's a little bit corny and old-fashioned, but traditional, the right hand of fellowship. Congratulations. 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 Welcome these guys. Let me pray for you. God, I want to thank you for this moment. I want to thank you for Ken and Nina and Tom and Marcy, for all that they mean to all of us, the blessings they've been to us in this church, for the commitment they are making to us as a body of Christ, for the way in which they serve you through this body. I give you thanks. And I pray that you will continue to fill them with your Spirit. Empower them. Allow them to experience you working through them, not only transforming their lives, but transforming the lives of those around them. May your goodness and love continually spill out from them and splash all over us and everyone they come in contact with. For this body of Edgewater, I pray, continue to unite us. Continue to help us see your vision, your passion for Pittsburgh and Antioch and Bay Point and the region and the world. Continue to help us, each one of us, use our gifts, use the passions you've put into us to serve you, to serve one another, to serve this community. May we at all times remember that we are united by your love. We are united by your salvation. We are united by your grace. We are united by your presence in us. We are united by our shared desire to accomplish your work at this place, at this time. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. And now they're all going back to serve right now. So thank you very much. Peter, do you have some announcements for us?
Boy, howdy. Yes, there's a lot going on in the life of Edgewater in the next couple weeks, and it's all very exciting. First off, I want to let you guys know, and you can join me in congratulating our very own bass player, Bill Buhlman, just retired. He is, after 17 plus years working for Contra Costa County and the school system, being a network administrator, he gets to enjoy life a little. So congratulations. Thank you for serving our community. Anyways, I was excited for him, so I wanted you to be excited with me. So this week, there's a whole lot going on. If you haven't heard, a week from today, Sunday the 23rd, we will be hosting a candidate who is potentially going to be our next head pastor if everything goes well, and you have a big part to play with that. We want you guys to meet this guy, this mystery person named Steve, and he will be here from Thursday to Sunday, and there are three purely social events scheduled that you have a chance to meet Steve and his wife Rebecca as they come and are looking forward to meeting you. There's an ice cream social on Thursday night, food truck night on Friday night downtown, and Saturday breakfast at La Pinata at 8 a.m. There are sign-up sheets that will help us kind of know how many people are coming so we can prepare for that type of thing. On the back table, if you would like to meet Steve and Rebecca and have a chance to talk to them, please sign up for that. And then, importantly, next Sunday, he'll be here preaching, and there will be a potluck after the service to be able to chat with him a little bit, a Q&A session with he and his wife, where we get to ask him questions about, you know, his life and ministry and why the heck he wants to come to Pittsburgh and that type of stuff. And then he will leave and we'll have a chance to vote. And if you're a member, you get to vote. But we will be taking the consideration of non-members. We want to make sure that we are making the wisest decision possible. So we want all input, if you're a member, you'll be able to vote on that next week, and then we'll see what happens after that. To get ready for that and all the events that are coming and the chance for us and Steve to meet this weekend, tonight at 6:30 at Antioch Covenant Church, we will be having a time of prayer for our community, a time for us to pray for ourselves, our church, as we are getting ready to welcome Steve next week, but also a time to pray for him, pray for our city, and what might be next. Things are looking good with Steve. It's been a long process, and you can hear more about that from the search team if you would like to ask them or chat with them about it. But, you know, we want to make sure this is the right move also as a church, not just for this church, but for the city and what God has for us to do here. So tonight we're going to be praying at Antioch Covenant Church at 6:30 p.m. So please, if you're free, please come and pray with us as we lift up Edgewater and Pittsburgh. This past Friday, we had our first outreach event where we went and handed out popcorn and water to people in Pittsburgh at the family movie night downtown in the park, and it was awesome. It was super fun, and we passed out over 150 bags of popcorn, bottles of water, the city said that was less than they normally get. They usually get about twice that, 200 to 300. And so we're going to do this three more times this summer, the next one being Friday the 28th. And there's sign-up sheets in the back if you'd like to sign up to help with those. Handing out bags of popcorn and water to people who want popcorn and water. It's pretty low risk, right? You're at a movie. Yeah, yes, I would like popcorn. Thank you. That's pretty much the response I got from most people. And we have an invitation card to let them know that we love families and we want them to be a part of what's going on here as well. So that's happening 2 weeks, the 28th in August. You can sign up for those on the back table as well. That's what I got.
Thank you. And some of you are newer here. Some of you are brand new here. Welcome. Good to have you here. And you're wondering, why is another pastor coming? So let me explain that real quickly. I am the interim pastor. So I'm the guy who is here to minister, to serve, to share, to prepare the church for the next pastor God's been preparing. And we think we found that person, and they'll be coming for you guys to check out next Sunday. So look forward to that. I have a friend named Bob, and Bob's wife was complaining to him and asking him, why do you never say I love you? This was my friend Bob's response. He said, well, I told you I love you at our wedding day, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know. He needs help, right? If that describes you guys, you need to come see me. All right, I do marriage counseling. All right? Why? Because what's important gets repeated, right? What's important gets repeated. What's important gets repeated. So what I want to do, I want to share with you a theme that gets repeated in Scripture, in the pages of the Bible. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Acts 13:36 says, David completed the work God set out for him. God set out for him. That's a great verse, by the way. If you want to put something on my tombstone, which I hope is a long time away from now, but boy, I hope that's what you can say about me, that I completed the work God set out for me to do. It just makes me ask the question, what are you investing your life in? Are you investing your life in the work that God has set out for you? Because you don't want to get to the end of your life and say, look at all what I accomplished, and God says, well, that's nice, but it's not the work I set out for you to do. David completed the work God set out for him. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us in advance to do. Do you see the theme getting reported? I have holy plans for you. I have plans for you. David completed the work God set out for him. And God has prepared good works for us to do in advance. We have this testimony getting repeated. And what's important gets repeated. Now hear it from Jesus himself. John 17:18. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. So what's the big point? The big point is this, is that Edgewater Church is a place where everybody plays, right? Were you ever in Little League, you know, and you were the guy? Well, I was the guy, all right? I was the guy who sat at the bench, you know, and maybe in the last inning I was sent out to right field because no one hits a ball out there. This is a place where everybody plays, where everybody has a mission, where everybody has a God-given purpose. And when we are carrying out those missions and purposes, then God is putting you in a position where you can experience Him work in your life and through your life. And as that is happening, other people get to experience God work because they're seeing it in your life and they're experiencing it as you are touching their lives. And when we're all doing this, it gets pretty exciting. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I believe this is the work God put in front of me to do. And I get to experience God as I do that work. I have been experiencing God work in my life. You guys have changed me in good ways. And I've seen God work through me and touch your lives. And as I have been seeing God work in your lives, I've experienced God in whole new ways by just seeing that. How He's worked in your lives and how He's working through your lives. It gets very, very exciting. And then it gets even more exciting because God gathers us in all of our individual purposes and all of our individual missions. He gathers us together in churches so that our individual missions come together to accomplish an even bigger purpose and an even bigger mission. Listen to what the Bible has to say in 1 Corinthians 12:12-15. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Now remember, what's important gets repeated. And this idea of a church, of us being a body with many parts coming together to form one body, it gets repeated. Paul writes to three different churches to tell them the exact same thing. To Corinth, which we see here, to Rome, the church in Rome, and the church in Ephesus. Continually saying that we're a body of many parts coming together to become one body. So I want to revise the big point I just shared with you. This is a church where everyone plays together. Where we all play together so that together we accomplish God's purposes for all of us. Because God has placed Edgewater in Pittsburgh for a reason. We're not here by accident. And I want to hopefully convince you that God has not placed you here at this church by accident. That you are here for a reason. God has given us at Edgewater a threefold mission. It's right on the front of your bulletin. It's to love God, love people, and to serve the community. Let's say that together. Love God, love people, serve the community. That's the mission that we have here in Pittsburgh. That's why we are all here, to accomplish that. This is a place where God is starting to pull all of us together to accomplish that mission. It's a place where we're learning how to be a body and not just a bunch of individuals, you know, not just a bunch of rocks, you know, banging against each other, but we're blending together with all our gifts coming together. We're learning how to be a body. We're learning how all our unique contributions contribute to the bigger mission that God has for us and how each contribution is important, how no one here is unimportant. The foot cannot say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. We're all important. It takes all of us to accomplish God's purposes for each of us. Remember that. You can't do it on your own. It takes all of us to accomplish God's purpose, to love Him, to love people, to serve the community. So I'm going to stop talking right now about how we're supposed to be the body. And instead, I want to show you how we here at Edgewater are a body, the body of Christ, all right? And what I want you to see is how, when you watch this video, I want you to see how all the different parts, all the different ways people serve, how all the different parts come together to accomplish a bigger purpose. I want you to be able to hear from the people who share the passion and the dreams they have for this church. God-given passion, God-given dreams. And what I really most of all want you to see, I want you to see what God is up to here at Edgewater. So let's watch the video. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody who took part of that and shared on the video. I want to thank Peter for using his gifts to do all the videoing and editing and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate that. And there's so many more of you that could have been on the video that serve here, but we would have been here all day. So thanks for all of that. Let me just repeat, because what gets repeated is important. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. And that's what we just saw, right? That's what we see happening here, is how all the parts are coming together to form a body. There's so many of you doing so many different things. The setting up in the morning, the tearing down after the service, the music, the slides, the sound, the children's ministry, youth ministry, the small groups, even the snacks, the leadership team, and our outreach to the community. So many of you are doing so many things, but each of you are doing it to contribute to that bigger mission, right? Of loving God, loving people, serving the community. The setup, like Chi said, those of you who come early in the morning to set all the chairs up, you're doing that so that we all can come and love God and worship God and be able to be part of that without having to figure out where we're going to sit, you know, and, you know, bring your own chair kind of thing. The music, you do it so all of us can learn and practice and develop a love for God and express our love for God. The fellowship we have after the service, the times of small groups, we do that so that we are learning to love God and learning about God more and developing that fellowship. We're learning to love each other more. Each of these contributions, the children's, all these contributions can be seen as an expression of our love, right? We're doing them as an expression of our love for others. We're loving others as we serve them. So you don't come and set up chairs in the morning because you just love setting up chairs, right? You don't stay afterwards to tear down because you just love tearing things apart. No, you do it because you love seeing what God does as a result of what you're doing. Maybe you do love music. Maybe you really love music, but you're not doing music selfishly just because you love it, right? You're doing music because you love seeing what God is doing through your gift, what God is doing through the things you love. You might love kids, but you're not serving the kids just because you love kids, but you love seeing what God is doing through your love for kids. We use our gifts because we love seeing how God works when we use our gifts. So I hope you're encouraged. I hope you have felt blessed, and you do feel blessed to be a part of this body. I hope you share the passion that was expressed, that we saw expressed in this video. And I hope that your passion's getting more fired up, that you're just getting more excited. I hope you're getting excited about not only what God is doing, but what's to come. What God is going to do. Most of all, I hope you feel challenged to fully participate as part of this body, part of the body of Christ. It was Jesus' final night with his disciples. And because he knew it was going to be his last night, he knew this was his last chance to talk with them. The things that he was going to share with them were the things that were most important to him for them to remember. These are the things that were most important to remember. And the very first thing he did wasn't to tell them something. It was to show them something. Remember, as they walked in, he washed their feet, which is a typical thing to do in that culture. You're walking around dirty roads, your feet get dirty. That happened all the time, washing feet. But it was never the host that did it. It was never the most important person in the room that did it. In fact, it was always the slave. It was always the servant, because it's still washing feet. It was just as gross back then as it is today. But there was Jesus, the master. Jesus, the great teacher. Jesus, their rabbi. He was the one, Jesus, God's son. He was the one washing their feet, and they never forgot it. It left an indelible image in their mind. And then he said something when he finished that they also never forgot. He said, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You will be blessed if you do them. We don't receive God's blessings by having other people serve us. We experience God's blessings as we go and serve other people. And so many of you are doing that. So many of you are serving in so many ways within the body of Christ and then out into the community. And God is working through you, so keep it up. God's working here at Edgewater. We've just seen it. We see it every week. And as this week comes, you're going to see it again as Steve and Rebecca come as our pastoral candidates. Our search team has worked diligently. That's another service done at this church. Our search team has worked very diligently and prayerfully to discern the pastor God has been preparing for this church. And they believe they've heard from God. They finished their work. They believe that Steve is the person God is calling. But now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to do your work. Now it's your turn to listen to God and discern. Now it's your turn to be part of a process. Next week is not about being a rubber stamp and just saying, okay, you know, that's what the search team said, fine, and go with it. No, it's for you to listen and to pray and to discern. Is this the person God is calling to be with us and to be our pastor? Because if you get that sense, then you're calling a pastor that all of you feel, this is the person God wants here. And when you have that feeling, rather than just saying, well, I'm just going with the crowd, well, that's not very powerful. But when you have that sense, this is the person God wants here, this is the person God wants to be my pastor, then you're really going to get behind it. And God's going to do some powerful things. So I want you to be praying this week, praying for God to speak to you. Then we're going to start with it tonight. Tonight we're going to gather as a body because it's important to be a body. We're going to gather as a body to pray at Antioch Covenant Church, 6:30. It's on Buchanan, 1919 Buchanan. So please join us there, 6:30. It'll be in the fellowship hall, not in the sanctuary. So we can come together and tune ourselves to God and be listening to the God. And then this week you'll have your chances to meet with them Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning. Make sure you sign up for those before you leave. If you fail to sign up, you can still show up, but it helps us to plan to know if you're coming or not. So make sure you do that. Then Sunday, Steve will be here. He'll be preaching. Potluck afterwards. Potluck means you're all bringing something, okay? Just a clue. So, you know, nothing like impressing the new pastor candidate by not having a potluck and no one brings any food. So bring some food. There'll be a time for question and answer. Then, like we said, Steve, we'll send Steve to the hotel, and then you'll have some more time to if you have any questions with the leadership team, to pray again, to discern again, and to vote. In the meantime, and until the next pastor comes, we want to continue to be the healthiest church we can possibly be. A church that is filled with passion to love God, love people, and love the community. Amen all by myself. That means everyone plays together. So if you don't yet have a role here at the church, you're not yet involved at the church, step up. Step up and serve. Serve not because you're supposed to. Serve as an expression of your love. Your love for the congregation, your love for the community, your love for God. In your bulletin, there is a list of all the different kinds of opportunities you have to serve. So go ahead, take a look. Find those places. Oh, I could do that. There isn't a ministry here at the church that will say, no, I can't use you. Not a single ministry that will say, no, I can't use you. Now, if you can't sing, we might use you in a different place. Just saying. All right? I once felt like at a church I was pastoring, my wife was actually the worship leader, and I felt there wasn't enough male voices, so I volunteered to sing. After the first Sunday, my wife said, we want you to concentrate on preaching. All right? So there might be some places that are better for you than others, but take a look at the list. Start somewhere. Start anywhere. Experiment a little bit. Stretch yourself a little bit. You might be surprised that you'll like something more than you ever dreamed possible because God's working through it. When do you start? When do you want to start experiencing God at work in your life? Right? So offer your time, offer your talents, and then offer your tithe. In a moment, we're going to finish our service with some more worship. We're going to take our offerings. But I want you to understand, when we take our offerings, your giving isn't to pay the bills. All right? We get that mindset, and yes, money goes to pay the bills, but that's not the purpose. We give because we trust God. In fact, it is our trust for God that allows us to give. If we cannot trust God to provide us, then we are only going to give the very minimum we feel we can get by on. But when we trust God to provide, that's when we get generous. So we give as an expression of our trust in God. We also give because we're giving to the mission of God. We're giving to the mission of loving God and loving people and serving the community. And we're giving in order to use the resources God has put in our pockets to go out and to serve Him and accomplish His work and to make a difference. That's why we give. Let's pray. God, I want to give You praise as our head, the head of the body, the one who leads us, who directs us, who has plans for us and purposes for us, the one who works through our lives. No matter how insignificant we might feel, no matter how broken we might feel, You work through us to actually touch other people's lives. Thank You. Thank You for Your presence and Your work and for having plans. Thank You for this body of believers, this church called Edgewater. The way You unite us, the way You use us, the way You're using us to be a light in the community. May our light continue to shine brighter. May we find better and newer ways to continue to reach out, to touch the lives of people who have not yet been touched by You. And Lord, as we give, may our giving truly be an expression of our worship. And may You take these gifts and guide us and direct us in using them to accomplish Your purposes for Edgewater at this time, at this place. Pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who unite us together. Amen.